you'd like to. The scripture tells us in Joshua, I believe, of a tragic situation in the lives of the children of Israel. We read that of different generations, generation after generation after generation, and we see the challenges that they face. The history of Israel is well recorded, of course, in Scripture, and we see the challenges that the different generations faced internally, externally, battles they fought, the pull of the world around them, the overcoming of those things. And we find a stark tragedy in Joshua where it says there was a generation that arose that knew not the Lord. I wondered, that couldn't have been by design. That couldn't have been the desire of the prior generation. But somewhere along the way, the battle that raged and the war that the prior generation fought became so consuming to them that they didn't realize that really what the enemy was doing was destroying the next generation. We have often, as parents, I've watched anyway, where at times my children would come under attack, and I recognized at the season it was because, for whatever reason, the Lord would not allow the enemy to have access to me, and so the enemy, in his efforts to try to distract or discourage me, would bring attacks against my children. And I can't even explain that to you today. I would rather say, Lord, let me come under attack and spare my children. But it doesn't always work that way, and I can't explain that. The Lord knows that. And so, and I believe many of us can probably relate to that. But I also know and am becoming more aware that the enemy will attack the older generation to destroy the children. I don't know if I can adequately express the many things flowing through my spirit today. I watch my mom as a single parent work at a donut shop and somewhere else. I don't know where else she worked. It probably wasn't as good as the donut shop. It didn't have the benefits that, as a kid, I enjoyed. So I remember the donut shop. And I watched the struggles of her life. And as a child growing up, when she remarried, I dealt with some of those things. But what she dealt with was far greater than what I dealt with. My battle was physical and somewhat mental. Hers was physical, mental, emotional, and felt across various generations. I was just trying to survive as a kid. She was trying to survive as a wife, a lady, a mother. She was trying to maintain her integrity in relationship with God and raise up her children in the fear of God while enduring these things. And in hindsight, I realize if the enemy could have been successful, he would have gladly continued to bombard her as a means of turning my sister and I against the Lord, bringing bitterness in our lives towards him. I don't know how Israel became so distracted by their battle that they missed the translating of a relationship with God to an entire generation. But that's what happened. It's exactly what happened. Israel, the adults, the responsible ones, in their battles of life, You can read about them. They're well documented. In their battles of life, somehow, some way. I mean, Deuteronomy was very clear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Him only shalt thou serve. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And thou shalt teach this diligently to thy children. And you shall put it on your doors and on the bedpost and share it with them when they get up. Share it with them when they lie down. You do this with your children. I mean, one of the greatest admonitions of Deuteronomy 6 is about what you're teaching your children. I mean, we quote 6 and 4 because we believe and know there's one God. But the great admonition of Deuteronomy 6 is teach your children diligently these things. Don't let it slip between generations. But it did. Some, this generation that arose that knew not the Lord, somehow diligence was lost. Now, the scripture doesn't say they didn't know of the precepts. Doesn't say they didn't know of the scriptures or of the history. It says they didn't know the Lord. They couldn't identify with God. They didn't have a relationship with God. I believe some of that generation that didn't know the Lord could have quoted the Shema. They probably saw it in their house. But being able to quote it and knowing the Lord of it are two vastly different things. I realize there may be some of you here today that aren't parents. I don't know. I don't know all of you. I came to know the Lord because of the relationship of others with the Lord. I mean, I grew up on a church pew. And I'm thankful for the messages that have been taught throughout my life, the teaching of the Word of God. But when I draw on things in my life, I draw back on people's relationships with God. My greatest hero in life is my grandfather. I don't draw on his. I don't know if I could tell you one message he ever preached. I really don't. I mean, I could go back and look at old notes I have of his, but I don't remember him preaching them. I remember the first message I ever preached that my grandfather was sitting in the room. It meant the world to me because there was a relationship with God that was there. And the relationship that he held with God spoke of great value to me. Someone, please hear me this morning. I do not know or would not make light of your struggles in life, your battles along the way, the things that come against you, all the reasons why you would tell God that it's too hard, it's too difficult, I can't, but why? All of those, I've prayed those prayers, I understand those things, and I don't know all those things that you would deal with in that regard, but the enemy of your soul would love to bombard you to destroy the next generation. And if you can get enough focus on your problem that you lose sight of what you're called upon by the Word of God to do diligently, the greatest tragedy that would occur would be a generation that does not know the Lord. By contrast, we have King David. And my, what a stark picture of contrast in his life. David was a man after God's own heart. We know this. He had relationship. David stepped outside of dispensations in some of the ways he lived life because of his relationship with God. But yet, even in David's life, we see in his sons an absence in the next generation of a man after God's own heart because he became so enthralled with his own battles, so caught up in his own challenges. Were those unreal? No, they were very real. He had to fight those, but he couldn't do that and lose sight of the next generation. And instead, what he did is in his dying days, you read the chapter where King David passed, right before he passed, he calls in his son. And instead of encouraging him in the Word of God and encouraging him in relationship with God, David begins to walk down his list of, quote, unfinished business in his personal battles, in his personal fights, and the things he's gone through, and says, don't let this one get away with this, and remember this, and mark that man. And he's passing from generation to generation a battle and a struggle that was never that generation's to fight if he would have just ended it. Pray with me for a moment. Please pray with me. Hikataya botroboshita tarabakito. Hikatobori ashikototo breate nele beketehe. Hikotoroboshia rabasheton dorekitaha. Delurukushili amando rokoye eti arabasheleki. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I would today that the quickening word of God would grip the heart of some mom or some dad where necessary and shake you in the midst of your battle to recognize that while you still have to fight that, you don't have to put that on your children. You can teach them the power of a relationship with God in the midst of a battle. You can show them the strength that comes from a closet of prayer and time and intimacy with God. And they can see that example from your life. And they don't remember the battle. They remember the way you fought in the battle. They don't remember the battle. They remember the way God brought victory in your life. They don't remember the throes of war. They remember the way God manifested himself as you exampled that relationship to them. David passed on those things. David had a mind to do something great for God. He said he wanted to build a house for the Lord. A relationship with God meant so much to him, he'd look on the tabernacle and said, man, Lord, you're dwelling in this place that's made out of animal skins. I'm living here. And had it in his heart to do something and build a temple for the Lord. And the Lord told him no. Sometimes when you want to do great things for God, the Lord still says no. And he gave him reasons why. It was because of the battles he'd fought, because of the blood he'd spilled, because of some of those things he'd went through in his life. The Lord didn't find fault with David's vision. He just wasn't going to let it be fulfilled in David. Now, David could have gotten bitter towards the Lord about that. David could have said, well, fine, God. You just put it in somebody else's heart. If you're not going to let me. But in that regard, David taught us something. David said, I'm going to pass this vision on to the next generation. God's put it in my heart, and God's not going to allow it to be fulfilled by me. But I'm not going to let it die just because. I'm going to be unselfish in this endeavor. And my unselfishness is going to do things so that my sons can fulfill what God has put in my heart. I may not be able to do it, but I'm content if God will fulfill it through the next generation and give me a part in that. And so David began to set aside the spoils of war, knowing he would never use them for what he was setting them aside for. Realizing all he was doing was investing and laying up for the next generation. Realizing all he was doing was setting aside so the vision God had given him would be fulfilled through his children. And he came to a place in his walk with God where he could be okay with that. Now, you think about it, he's the king. He's got position, he's got authority, he's got means, he has all these things, but yet he's sensitive enough to recognize when God says no. But he's wise enough to realize the privilege of investing in the next generation to see what God's put in his spirit fulfilled. Some of you have written yourself off because of your battles and your challenges, not realizing that the enemy would like you to settle for less and in so doing destroy the next generation. And so I'll pull into my protective shell. I'll pull into my own world and I'll live for God on my terms. I'll experience his blessing in areas, but I'll realize there's always more, but not understand why I'm not walking in it. The reality is I've sheltered myself and cloistered myself so much because of the battle. And I'm teaching my children the same thing. And so I raise a generation that lives a sheltered, protected, remove myself, just do enough to get by, rather than recognizing they've been called of God and are a chosen generation that can walk in the Spirit and the power of God like never before. Why don't you stand with me today? I don't know if you've ever read or studied the Tower of David and all the things that were in it. Seems like for some reason I remember Brother Berglund teaching about that somewhere along the way. He's giving me the affirming nod. There were the spoils of war in there. The value of those things. David had a pattern of laying things up. He really did. He had a pattern. If you look at in Scripture, you know, as has already been shared, unfortunately, he did that in a negative way too, but he also had a pattern of doing it in a positive way. Maybe he just struggled to recognize how closely related the two were. I don't know. I mean, you go back early in his life when he fought Goliath. It wasn't until a little while down the road when he was fleeing for his life that he stopped at the temple or the tabernacle, visiting the house of God, and he didn't have a sword. He'd left town so quickly. Of course, I think it was it Abiathar, the priest there at the time? One of those guys. Anyway, the priest says, well, I do have a sword here at the house of God. He went and got it for him, and it was Goliath's sword. Somehow, the spoils of war in David's life had made it to the house of God. And when he was in time of need in a battle, the very thing he'd laid up in the house of God was waiting on him. Come on, talk to the Lord. Where are you laying up the spoils of battle? Or have you just gone fully into defense mode at this point? Come on, God didn't design you to live in defense mode. You are a child of the Most High God. You can fight a battle and lay up things that are prepared for you in time of need and that are prepared for the next generation for the fulfillment of the will and the plan and the purpose of God. But don't let it be said that in the midst of the battle, I forgot to teach these things to my children, an example to my children that in God we have victory. In Him alone we walk victorious. In Him we find strength in our weakness. In Him is all that I need, no matter the battle that I face. In Him is all that I need, no matter the circumstances about me. Come on, don't fall into the trap of swapping stories and pity parties. Not when you serve the living God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or even think. Young people that are here today, I hope you're listening. The Lord has written destiny on your lives, and I understand what it is to grow up with challenges in the home. I understand what it is to grow up in homes filled with anger and malice and confusion and noise. And I know what that is, but I know a God that's greater than all of that. And He'll be a shelter and a tower and a place of strength and refuge. He'll be a friend, and He'll bring in your life more than you could imagine. Don't get caught up in the storm. Run to Him. Let Him bring about in your life what He desires. Come on, find a place to pray today and talk to the Lord.
I won't break. I won't water down my faith. I won't compromise in a world of desperation. What has been, I cannot change. Before tomorrow and today, I must be a light for future generations. I won't bend and I won't break. I won't water down my faith. I won't compromise in a world of desperation. What has been, I cannot change. Before tomorrow, must be a light for future generations.